Hallelujah. I glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, so why don't you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 1. This is the family, what? Prayer center. So, all you family, center your prayers on praying for me right now. So, why don't you stretch your faith this way? Hallelujah. Father, I give you all the praise and glory. I can do nothing of myself. I know nothing of myself. I can perform nothing of myself. These are my brothers and sisters. I ask you to receive their prayers for me, that I'll be enlightened, strengthened, guided. Lord, no other thought except yours. No other wisdom except yours. No other praise except yours. And I receive it by your grace and by your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, true to form, we want to teach you this morning. He wants to teach you how to be exalted above your afflictions. Now, I like the way that... just lost my place. I like the way that a guy that teaches me a lot, and that is Dave Roberson. He says this. He said, you're one of three places in this life. One of three places. Everybody is. You're just coming out of a trial, just going into one, or right in the middle, or however he starts that. I'm not doing it justice, I can tell. You're either in the middle of one, or you're going out of one, or you're what? Coming into one. Kenneth Hagin had a lady come to him in a grace line or whatever and said, would you pray for me? Yes. What is it you need? Would you pray that the devil will leave me alone? He said, okay, let's see. What would you like? Would you like for me to pray that you die? She said, oh no, I'm here for life and health. He said, well, the only way I can figure out that the devil will leave you alone is that you leave the planet. So you'd have to die. But see, what people can't put two and two together, sometimes they can't equivocate the fact that just because the word says many are the afflictions of the righteous doesn't mean you're in the affliction yourself, having it overturn your will and your desires and your victories. It just means that you're marching on the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Hallelujah. We're an offensive force. We're going forward. And so because we're saying, I say, Immokalee is saved, you're going to find out that you're going to run into a lot of different opportunities, if you want to say it like that. You're either in an opportunity or out of an or going out of one, or just beginning in one. So learn to adjust according to what? According to this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, patience is a virtue. So you'll be patient with your pastor as he learns to keep... okay, I did put a spot there. Something there to hold it. Look at verse 1 with me, chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Oh, I am excited about the glory that's going to be revealed. Aren't you? Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. He says this to the ministers and to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of ready mind. Means don't preach the gospel for money. Don't let that be your ambition to preach the gospel. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. How many of you know you are God's heritage? You're His. And he says here that the minister is not to be a lord over it, but an ensample or an example to the flock. Here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit taught me and is still teaching me. You don't belong to me. You know, one of the things about that I've noticed just from watching, and only the Holy Spirit can cause you to see this, is one of the earmarks, subtle earmarks of pride among the ministries, is that once they begin to build their church and they drive up in their car on the facility and they're watching people pouring in, they're thinking, this is my church. This is not my church. Sometimes, if you catch me, then I haven't lost my track. But I invariably will not say when I'm talking to somebody, yeah, they belong to my church. I'll say they belong to the church. Or I try to train myself according to the Holy Spirit. Or I don't say, yeah, that's one of mine. See, you're not one of mine, you're one of His. And the best thing about it is if I understand that you are His heritage and I'm only a shepherd to guide you and help lead you. And here's the beautiful part about it. If there's a high side to the other side, when a man gets 2,000 or 3,000 people coming to his church, he thinks, look, God's put me as a commander-in-chief. These people belong to me. And the only problem is when that goes awry, then if they belong to you, you got to fix it. See, I don't have to fix none of y'all, because none of y'all belong to me. I got to lay in bed and worry about things. Worry about finances and worry about y'all and worry about this is if the church belongs to me. But if I know that it belongs to Him, it don't belong to me. Hallelujah. And by the way, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Everything is super. Jesus is on the throne. Hallelujah. He says, when the chief shepherd... Now see, I'm an under shepherd. But when the chief shepherd... Now how many would like to guess who that chief shepherd is? Oh, you got it right. You're a smart bunch of people. Jesus. When He shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And obviously we've taught on this before. I know that you know this. This is not some diadem. It's not some crown like up here. In fact, I wouldn't really want to wear one of those prince's crowns. This is a crown of life that's absolutely going to permeate your very being throughout all eternity. Another teaching. He says this, not just to us preachers or to those of elders, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. And He does not talking about chronological age here. He's talking about spirituality. Those that have been seated in the Word. Meat has become a part of your diet in the Word. You've been through enough trials that you haven't left the church. You're still there. You're still doing what you need to do. Even though your ship has been tossed to and fro, you're an elder. In other words, you're going forward. And the younger that are coming in or being born in the kingdom, He says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, and this is what I like, all of you be subjection or subject one to another. In other words, not just the younger to the older, but the olders, the elders, let them have a spirit of subjectiveness, that they will subject themselves to others and to hear and to listen and to have compassion and pity on others. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Hallelujah. If you get clothed with humility, we're going to be a kind of theatrical this morning. When I put on, because this is where we're going. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. If you can learn this part of this lesson plan, the humility part, there will never, ever, 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 not today, tomorrow, next week, next year, be anything that you'll face that you'll not find immediately the beginning process. There may be a process out of it, but whether it's natural or supernatural, whether it's a pronouncement of cancers in your body, or a lawsuit's been given to you, or your daughter is just, you run off, or your son has whatever, if you understand this, that the beginning of your exaltation begins by you being clothed, something being clothed on you, and he says that clothing is what? Come on, you're reading it with me. What does it say? Preach with me. Humility. I just put on humility. What we've got to find out is, what is humility? What, according to the definition of God, is really God true humility? It's not what we've thought it to be. It's not shamefacedness. It's not pitifulness. It's not, okay, I'll submit to you. The true humility of God is far deeper than that, far more powerful than that, and will always, invariably, exalt us out of every tribulation. You younger, submit. The older, submit. For he says, be clothed with humility for God. Now listen to this. This is very powerful. God resisteth the proud. Oh my. And he giveth grace. You know what grace is? Now we've come to know, you know, far more than our definition for grace. I'm not saying we've expanded it in all truth. But most of the time people, when you say, what is grace? People say it's the unmerited favor of God. That's true. But Paul's definition, 2 Corinthians 12, was the grace of Christ was sufficient, meaning his strength. The epitome of grace in the Old Testament, you could just about always replace it with the word strength. When God says, I'm going to give you my grace, he's saying, I'm going to give you my strength. Your weakness is going to be imparted grace. In your weaknesses, grace will be imparted. It means that exchange of strength. Well, something happens here. Two things. One, God resists, means he separates himself. And my God, if there's anything that I don't want to do, I don't want Christ repelling from me. I want him drawing close to me. Now, he's talking to Christians here. And there is a word that says, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he will abide with you forever. And I believe that. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But in all fact of reality, as in God getting involved in your life and bringing about his will for your life, God himself here, Christ, he resists, he repels back from the prideful, but he does what? He gives grace. In other words, he snuggles up to and comes alongside and begins to pour in strength to who? To who? Come on, help me. He says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under. In other words, get under. Here's the mighty hand of God. God is up here. God is up in heaven. God is on the earth. But he tells us, you, us, the church, humble yourselves, therefore, underneath the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, I want to be exalted. And I want to be exalted in due time. But guess what? I want my due time all the time. Oh, some of you didn't get that. Some of you say, you know what? If you didn't say amen to that, you just said, I like suffering for a little bit. I'm a little bit sadistic. I just love pain. I just love emotional pain. No, you wouldn't say that. He said he will exalt you in due time. Well, I want to find out how and what due time is. He says this, humble yourself, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he does what? He cares for you. Okay, I could preach all day. Next year, I could preach every message on casting care. I could give you enough scripture possibly that you'd understand that the way for you to get out of anything is to cast your care upon the Lord. But let me tell you something. Whether or not you have observed this, and I know that you have because you live in an earth suit and you've got skin, I have invariably, time and time again, come to the altar of prayer, whether it was here, someplace else, or my personal life, and thought that I had cast that care upon the Lord. See, casting the care upon him is more than you just saying, God, I'm casting this care on you. The proof is in the pudding. In other words, if you cast it on him, you don't have it anymore. But if you get down the road an hour later or tomorrow and you have the care, you didn't cast it on him. And it's like Dave says, you go to the altar and say, I cast this on you. They'll go through all kinds of things. Put it in the box. I mean, you know, all kinds of demonstrations. Let's put it in here. Put a lid on it. We're going to cast it away. All kinds of theatrical things, which means nothing. It means nothing. Why? Because you cast this care here at this altar and you drive home. And guess who is inside your house sitting at the dinner table, at the breakfast table? You drive a Volkswagen. Carers, they drive Porsches. They get home before you do. And when you walk in, they're sitting there saying, hi. Hi, I'm worry. Hi, I'm fear. I just cast you. Oh, no, you didn't. I got home before you did. I'm casting this thing on you. I'm going to get along with him better. We're going back to when we first got married. God, I cast that thing on you. Glory to God, you're walking out of the church. Oh, Jesus, that was a service. My God. Woo, I got a stroll today. Woo. I'm going to fix that man some good food. And we're going to have a little romance around our house. And you don't even get in the car before he says something that care once again. And all of a sudden, the eyes roll back in your head. And your head tilts in ways that it was not meant to tilt. The care is back. Where did it go? It didn't go anyplace. Because symbolically, you can't do anything naturally. You can't do anything naturally. It has to be something that is given by the heart. But we know how to get it there. Hallelujah. Here's how we go. He says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now he says this, be sober. Why would he say be sober? Because a drunk man is not sober. That's pretty, you know, redundant kind of. A drunk man is not sober. In other words, while you're in the test and you think you're the only one in the world ever in that test, you get drunk on the test so that if your thoughts contain multiplicity of that's where you're at, that's what you're thinking, after a while, your whole world will revolve around and you will think like an intoxicated person because they don't think in reality. This is reality. You will see everything through the eyes of your trial. You'll judge other people through the eyes of your trial. You'll believe with all truth that what you're thinking about that other person is truth, but you're drunk. You're drunk on the test. You're drunk on the affliction. And he says, sober up. The first thing you need to do is need to know this, that the humility that he's asking you to come to is going to cause you to sober up. Hallelujah. So we're about to make some coffee. We're about to get the smelling salts out and say, okay, the ammonia, we're going to break some ammonia tablets because you just had a concussion. This trial hit you and you need to wake up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, be vigilant. In other words, vigilant is to stay at it. Stay at what you know. Stay at what you've been taught. Stay at going forward. Stay at moving forward in the things of God, in the things that you've been taught continually by the Word of God. Everybody got that? Vigilance. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, does what? He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he does not know who he can devour. That's why the Word says he seeks whom he can devour. In other words, he's going down the street. He's checking out. He's walking into the church. He doesn't know that. This is why I know that he can't read your mind, because he has to seek. Otherwise, he takes over. Your words are it is your hinge between victory and defeat. Your words are. because he'll either latch on to you based on your words or he'll repel from you because he doesn't know what you're thinking. You're thinking, he thinks he knows what I'm thinking. He knows I'm down on the inside because I feel bad. But he doesn't know unless you start telling people you feel bad. And then he says, oh, see, what gives him the bullseye? Gary's one of the best shots I know. He can bullseye it in from a long ways away. What gives the enemy the bullseye on you? And what causes him to say, oh, wait a minute, I know who to go get, is when he marks you with care. Care, this is why he says cast every care on him, because the prerequisite to not casting care, or the result of not casting care, is that the one who's seeking among the saints to find out whom he can devour is the one who has the big bullseye and says, I'm walking around with care. I'm walking around with fear. And my words give me away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, did I get transported to another church or what? My God. He said, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, what? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Steadfast. In the faith. Okay, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren that are in the world. Now, this is the first, we're going to get to something here in just a minute. It's going to be real interesting to you, besides for all this that already is. This sobriety comes about like this. The first thing that helps you sober up is knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren that are in the world. Meaning we're all going through something. See, when I'm hurting, when I'm really hurting, and if I have the opportunity to get in the flesh, I want 6 billion people to stop and know that at 6:15 Nassau, 34142 Immokalee, there is a person going through something, and none of anything else that y'all are going through matters. I want my alley fixed. And self-pity is the worst devil to stopping this exaltation. And self-pity says like this. They ain't called. They ain't written. They ain't said, how you doing? I'm dying here. I'm worse off. I'm worse off in my body than anybody's ever been. I'm broker than anybody's ever been. And nobody knows the trouble. Self-pity is the first devil that you're going to face, because your owie is worse than anybody else's. My ingrown toenail, if I had one, is worse to me than your brain surgery, because it belongs to me. And I want all of y'all to central in. Oh. Paul said this, know this, everybody's going through multiple things. Everybody, just like your thumbprint is different than anybody else's, your problems or your tests and trials are multiplicity. There, if you could sit down, you know, and I don't even like anybody. Sometimes I'll say, you know, pray, you know, or this, and you've come to people and they said pray and whatever. I don't like anybody telling me, well, everybody else is going through it. They're not me. Do you understand? They're not me. But that scripture, Peter said, know this, everybody else is going through it. And the first thing you need to know, little one, stop primping up. You are not the only one in the world going through this. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. whom resist steadfast, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren. That's all of us that are in the world. But the God of all, what? Grace. Who has called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered a while. What? Oh, I don't like. Listen, I don't like that word. I don't like suffered. I don't like it. It looks like a bad word. It looks like a bad word. Suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, look at all these, settle you in whatever you're going. Now let me tell you something. I can promise you by all the other scripture, 5 minutes, no that's not right, 5 years, no that's not, 5 eternities before your test ever started, God wanted you out of it. He's not putting you in a crock pot to watch you go through a test. So say, they're going to learn something in that. This is how I learn it right here. Amen. By this word. Amen. And if I take this word and go through the test and it gets over to me, what was sent my way, I'm going to learn something in the test. But I'm going to learn it by this word, by truth. Somebody said, well, you learned something by that cancer. Let me tell you something. If you don't have this word, you'll learn something. You'll learn to die. They'll shovel dirt on top of you. This is my teacher. So 5 minutes of 5 eternities before my test ever started, He wanted me out of it. Well, then why does He say for a while? Because the space of time between when the thing started, when the devils started, the thing between when they started and when it winds up, that space of time, that while, a while, all depends on how much you are able to come to a place where you're able to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And if you want it to shorten up, if you want this place to be a quick trip, if you want this place to be a shortened measure of time, there may be a time where you have to walk something out, but you on the inside are already there before it starts. You see it coming. You see the fiery dart, and the Word of God is able to extinguish it. It doesn't say in the Word of God in Ephesians, it doesn't say He's able to stop all fiery darts from coming. That's not what the Word says. It says that it's able to extinguish them when they do come. Hallelujah. The space of time between when it starts and when it's over primarily depends on you and me. We can abbreviate it down to a place where that wherever they're starting, one right after the other, we get exalted out of them. Okay, well then, Pastor, how do I do it? You got to humble yourself. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'll humble myself. Oh, then I'll start writing Hallmark cards to people that I've been offended to in the past. That's good, but that's not it. I'll bake cookies and give them to people. I'll take somebody out to lunch that I had a problem with. That's good. That's good. That's not it, though. He said diligence, steadfastness in the faith. In the faith. Now, let me show you something this morning. Let Him show you something this morning. It's very, very powerful. If I want to bring this to a close, whatever I'm walking through, finances, healing, marital problems, whatever, if I want to get God involved, then I know that I've got to humble myself. Now, here's the subtlety of all things. Most people that are going through a trial look pretty humble to me. I mean, usually their demeanor is kind of down. They're not real ambitious about saying who they are, what they are, what they have, and blah, 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 and on and on and on. It seems as if, on the outward surface, there's no need to preach a message about, hey, you need to humble yourself. Because if you don't, you can know this. God resists. There's something about God that will resist the proud, but He will cleave to. He runs over, puts His arms around the humble. Do you know what humble means? It means 1,000% teachable. Submission to what you know. Steadfastness in the faith. steadfastness. That's what he said. That you would stay sober, steadfast in the faith. Well, here's the subtlety of it. I'm not going to go talk and tell that person they're in pride. My God, they're going through too much already. They're going through too much. They look like they're already, they got the weight of the world on top of them. They're broke. They're hanging on by a dear, a thread. They're sick in their body. Their marriage is, they look like they've been beat down pretty good. I mean, if they want a lesson in humility, I mean, life's beat them down pretty good. And that's where the church never advances, because they don't understand. Now, let me give some examples. I'm going to have to use some theatrics. Pablo, would you come, please? When I ask you to come, if you'll just come. And I'm not going to ask you to say anything, so don't anybody get nervous. But I need some living examples. Just come up here and stand. And Gay, I need you to come, please. Okay. Pablo is... by the way, I'm going to call several of you up here for just a few moments. You guys pay attention. You guys pay attention. Please don't play act other than the fact that what I give you. I'm going to give each one of you a name. I'm going to give you a name. Give you a name. When I point to you or anybody else that I call, please very politely just speak that name out, because I might forget who I gave you. Now, Pablo is Jesus. Doesn't he look like Jesus? Hallelujah. And Gay is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Actually, could you just stand over there, Gay? Right over there, next to Jesus. When I come into the kingdom, I come to this man, Christ. Now, actually, he comes as the one that teaches me to come to Christ or convicts me, but that's okay. That's another teaching. But when I come, I embrace him. I embrace Jesus. And Jesus himself brings me to the next person in the Word of God, unequivocally. The next person that he wants to introduce me to is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Believe it or not, when the Holy Spirit comes, when he comes, he does not bring, nobody ever that ever got born again, never come to this man and said, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And he said, here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes in and baptizes me, that's the next thing, that's the next work of grace. He brings with him, when he baptizes me on the inside, he brings with him what? A heavenly what? A heavenly language. The Holy Spirit does not bring with him a New Testament. You'll never meet Christ. See, this is where most churches, many churches, they get it all wrong. They introduce you to this man, and then they cut off the relationship with him, the teacher. I know she's Gay's a lady, and we speak of the Holy Spirit in the pronoun or the noun of him. But she's a wonderful example. Look at her. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Marty says yes, and she's mine too. Hallelujah. When he comes in, he's not going to say, here's a New Testament. He's going to bring with him a prayer language. He's going to bring with him a prayer language. Many churches will introduce you to him, and they'll say, here, take this home with you and start reading it. They never tell you to take him with you. He's the teacher. How do I know except you give me the teacher? So I go home and I start reading, and I come back and I start saying stuff, and then somebody has to say, no, that's not right. I can stop all that process by giving you him first and letting him start praying for you, because when he comes, he gives with himself a language that is to lead and to guide you in all truth. How many of you have ever heard about praying in tongues around here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, I need some others. Okay. I need Melody. Would you please come? Okay. And let's see. I need, yes. Ashton, can you come please? Okay. Amber, I'll probably need you. Well, no, you're babysitting, aren't you? You're okay? Can you come up here? Okay. I know these won't mind kind of play acting with me. Travis, you babysitting? Come on. Okay. I don't know how many I'm going to need here. I may get, yeah, I think I've got, so I've got 1, 2, 4. Okay, stand over here. You two stand over here. All right. Javaris, you're smiling too much. Yeah. You're smiling too much. Come on. You're smiling way too much, man. I love when people start putting their heads down. I love for people with their heads down. Okay. All right. We're going to get exalted out of the trial. Okay, I can't speak about every other place. I can only speak what you know. That is, if you come here and what you've been taught. When you come here, at some point, maybe before you came or afterwards, you're introduced to this man. He is Jesus. And then you're introduced to this person, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he, now this morning for personification purposes, he's really one with himself, as in the language that he produces. But I'm going to tell you, this is tongues. Tongues for the believers. She is tongues. Tongues. Okay, I'm going to point to you. Tongues. Say it out. Tongues. She's beautiful. She just can't speak. Okay? This guy, I know this guy's full of the Word. And I know that. He's meditation. Okay? Meditation. He's full of the Word. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to give you the one that nobody likes. Fasting. All right. You are? Fasting. Okay. And let's see. How do I want to do this? You look like you're a truck driver. You love to confess the Word. Stand right here. Because I'm going to put you a confession. You're going to confess the Word, okay? Actually, you need to change with her, because once you get done meditating, then you're going to want to confess it, all right? And you are? And you are private worship. Intimacy, okay? Hallelujah. Private worship, which is intimacy. I come to this man, I'm taught, you must receive Jesus. Jesus introduces me to who? The Holy Spirit. I start coming to this church, and immediately they tell me, the first thing the Holy Spirit brings you is tongues. When I receive the tongues, tongues begin to, as I pray in the Spirit, tongues begin to release revelation knowledge. Now, we don't have time to teach all these this morning. Along with this revelation knowledge, I must have meditation. In other words, I've got to take that word, and I begin to take that word, meditation, tongues praying for me, the edification, 1 Corinthians 14, builds me up, Jude 20, on my most holy faith. It is also, 1 Corinthians 14, I'm edifying, meaning the word edify means I build myself up on my most holy faith, Jude 20. I get edified in the Spirit. Something, all these dovetail, because when I go to this person, when I go to meditation, which is to sit and read the Word of God and pour over it, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So when I hear myself actually reading the Word of God, my faith gets built up. We spend a lot of time on teaching you to meditate the Word of God. Then this man is confession. Means I take the Word of God as a two-edged sword, and if I'm going through a test in my life, I'm able to stand up if I know the Word. See, if I don't know the Word, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to do except pray for me. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will be praying for me when I don't know the Word. If I don't know this person, a lot of my time that the Holy Spirit is praying is, God, I just know this because the Holy Spirit prioritizes some things. And one of the first things you need besides for the Holy Spirit is you need to get full of the Word. Because if you get full of the Word, you'll never fall. You'll never fall. And if you're not full of the Word, every time you pray in tongues, you're thinking, oh, praise God, I'm praying for that brand new Ford pickup. And the Holy Spirit is praying, God, I'm asking you that they'll get a hunger for your written Word, so that your Word will be instilled in them. And he's praying that in a very delicate, beautiful prayer. When you get the Word of God in you, then confession will kick in. Then you'll begin to have the Word. And like a sharp two-edged sword, you'll begin to slice against your enemies. And you'll stand up against the opposing and say, I say, beloved Father, your Word says, and I speak this against my enemies. Satan, hear this. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In Jesus' name. I speak life over my body, for it is written, he bore in his body my infirmities, and with his stripes I am healed. Now, I couldn't confess it unless I'd first meditated it. And I have to know what it means, because I got to have this one praying for me, which is tongues, which is coming from the Holy Spirit. He's the one giving it. Now, this one down here, we've taught a lot on, and it seems to be the one that nobody will talk to. It seems to be the one out in left field, especially this time of year when turkey's coming up and cranberry sauce and giblet gravy. Why don't you go in the back room? We don't even need to talk to you. I tell you, we went from really preaching into bringing something in here that wasn't good. No. She's beautiful. Fasting. My God, we've taught a lot on fasting. It's not a desperate measure. It should become a part and partisan of our entire existence in Christ. Jesus said this. He said, when I go away, you will need to fast. And he said, he taught in Matthew 17 that it would cast out the most subtle kind of doubt. You know what the most subtle kind of doubt is? It's when you'll say, yeah, I'll take a lie detector test. Put my hands on there. I'll tell you what, I'll swear up and down on a Bible. I believed God when I prayed, and I know that there wasn't nothing in me that stopped it. When the disciples had already been casting out devils, they had already cast out hundreds of devils when Jesus and John and James and Peter come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, same mountain. Oh, yeah, that's the place where he was translated. When he comes down, he is met by a man, and this man says, your disciples couldn't cast him out. Later, the disciples were like scratching their heads saying, why couldn't we cast him out? Because we've done it for years, you know, for the last couple of years or whatever time. He said, look, this kind cometh not out but by fasting and prayer. And I can promise you, he wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about the subtle kind of unbelief where you'll say, I know that I believed. And the disciples were saying, we know we believed, but it didn't come out. Jesus said, this kind, there's only one way to get down in the deep enzymes of a person and absolutely extinguish those kinds of forms of doubt. And that's through fasting and prayer. And this person here absolutely is a major part of your deliverance and your being exalted above affliction. I love this one. I can kiss her like this because she's mine. Private worship, intimacy, fellowship. This is Psalms 23. The Lord restoreth my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I don't have to call. Listen, if you need help, you know how, and I'm not bragging on myself, you know how often I call Dave or Gary or any of the other preachers to say, man, I'm discouraged. Would you help me? Never. But I would. I have before in the past. But you know why? Because the preacher of all preachers, the Lord Jesus Christ, what they have taught me, I've learned that if I sit in His presence, He restoreth my soul. He is the one who baptizes me in intimacy and presence and peace and love and soundness of mind. And this is
private worship.
Private worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, would you guys spread out just a little bit, kind of get arm's length apart, and you can come on over here, honey. Okay. So this is Private worship. Hallelujah. So I understand these things. I've been taught these things. They're mine. I know this, that even in the future we're going to have teachers that will be teaching on all these inroads. And I'm not saying we've exhausted them. I can't wait to give Travis a room to get with it. I can't wait to give others rooms and places to get with it and to teach and to minister the Word. And they'll be coming in the revival by the thousands, and we'll pour them into Faith 101. And first thing that's going to happen is we're going to introduce them to this person, and they got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, they got to start praying in tongues. I mean, it's not mandated like law, but if they're ever going to go down the row here, they've got to learn these things. This is what He said: resist the enemy steadfast in the faith. This is, let me tell you, when I know these things and when I do these things, I'm building my house upon a rock. But watch this. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Okay? I'm waking up. Excuse me, Dad. I'm waking up Monday morning. Do you know what? Tests and trials and tribulations, they love to talk to you first thing. Now, if you're one of these ones that says, every morning that I wake up, I have angels around my bed. And the Holy Spirit's right there. And He's just, it's so peaceful. It's just so wonderful. You're lying and you ain't doing nothing. Nobody's mad at you. They ain't mad at you. What are you doing? You ain't made a pact with them, have you? I find out many mornings I wake up and I go into the bathroom and I got to go in there and start that coffee, and a lot of them's already at the door. Will you talk to me this morning? I'm not talking to you. I'm care. I know you're, or I'm thought. You, this is, I'm responsibility. You need to work this out. No, you're a liar. You're care. You're a liar. You old lying thing, you. You're not responsibility. You're care. You want me to start thinking about this thing, and you'll never give up. You'll take me right into the afternoon thinking about this thing. And then before long, you'll have me on the phone talking to somebody about it. Now I got to get up. I got to walk in. All these are in front of me. I can go to any of them. First of all, he's my Lord. This person infills me. But any of these avenues, any of these inroads, the moment that I'm faced with the test or the trial, the Word of God says that His mercies are fresh and anew every morning. The proverb says that wisdom crieth from the chief places of concourse, saying, whosoever is simple, come on in here. If I choose to humble myself and say, I'm going to start with these, or at some point have a concourse with these, I immediately solicit the attention of the Heavenly Father and the strength of the Holy Spirit, because I am resisting steadfast and I'm humbling myself. But if I walk past these, and I know in my heart I've been taught them, and any one of them, this will build me up. This will give me faith. This will cause me to be like a sharp two-edged sword. This will increase my faith and absolutely bring the flesh under subjection. This heals my soul. If I know these things, watch this, and if I walk past them in my day, and I choose to say, I hurt too bad to pray. I know I could start praying in tongues, or I could open up the Word, but let me just sit here and watch the tube for a while. Or let me, since I'm going through something, let me call somebody. The Word saying, talk to me. The Holy Spirit saying, pray. in the Holy Ghost. But when I choose to take any other elective, if I choose to say, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling real bad. So instead of spending some time today, I'm just going to go yard selling. I'm just going to go to the beach. I'm hurting, but I'm just going to go to the restaurant and pig out. Or I'm going to take another vacation. Somebody say, well, I ain't got no money to take no vacation. Listen, you would if you could. You would if you could. Let me tell you something. Oh, this is going to, I'm going to hide behind. He used to be a linebacker. I'm going to hide behind him. If you're not praying now, when you're not busy, when the economy kicks back in, you'll never pray. You'll never pray. If you're not doing these things now, you won't do them later. If you choose to say, I'm hurting, I know these things are, but I don't feel like sitting and praying in tongues. I don't feel like opening up the Word. I don't feel, what you've done essentially is this. You may not believe it because we look at people and say, they're going through something. They're humble. Here is pride epitomized. Pride epitomized is when I walk, dodge all of these to go to a place to say, I feel too bad to do any of that. I'm going to sit right here. Or I'm going to involve myself in my business. I'm just going to busy myself. I'm just going to run through the mall and say, charge it. I'm going to busy my life. I don't have time for this. And God says, these are the only things that will exalt you above your situation. And when you humble yourself is when you say, look, I say, I don't feel it. But tongues, I believe. Listen, this is the worst one too. When a lot of times people will be sick and they'll be messed up and they can't even get to church. Let me tell you something. You talk about, and we think opposite of God. God says, I give you all these things to exalt you out of the trial. And if you don't do them, what you're saying is, Lord, what you did, that's not good enough. You need to come and exalt me in a way where I know these things are taught, but I'm waiting on you to come and prove yourself. What that is, that's the height of pride, because you've bypassed all these and said, I need you to come and do something different for me. I'm waiting on you. And God says, no, you can't wait on me. I've already given you tongues if you'll begin to employ those tongues. And here's where tongues is the greatest indictment of all. I can be sick. I can be tormented. I can be sitting on the couch eating bonbons and watching some kind of flick. But if I will pray in tongues, quiet enough, even that it's not messing up my flick, that will begin to exalt me above my trial. But when I say, I just feel too bad to do any of that, God said that's the highest form of pride. Because He can't come and exalt you out of something when He's already provided the way for you to be exalted. And you say, I'm gonna bypass that because I feel too bad to ever touch it. I'm telling you this. When I say to Him, look, Word, I don't feel like reading the Word. But the Word says that if I'll meditate on You, that You will exalt me, that You'll exalt me out of my trial. You'll fill my person with peace. Now, I don't feel like that way today, but Word, I will embrace You. I will humble myself. Word, I humble myself to You because I don't feel like it, but I know by fact that the Word will exalt me out of my test and trial. Confessions, confessions, I got to confess to you. You have, when it's been in my trial, you sound like a bunch of hoopla. Just hoopla, standing there saying, I call my body whole, my body's whole, and I'm hurting. That's a lie. No, it's not a lie. It's truth. Amen. Confession, I got to confess to you. I have abandoned you in the past. I would have rather filled my belly full of pizza than sit and confess for an hour when I was hurting. I'm sorry, confession. Confession, you are my way to speak the Word of God over my test and trial. Amen. Hallelujah. Fasting, I love You. I humble myself before You. Oh God, I've said preachers need to fast, but not me.
I've said stuff like, Jesus did it all. He did it all. So if He did it all, why should I have to do it? Fasting, I have made every excuse in the world not to come your way. But I humble myself. I embrace you. If I can get out of my test by giving myself over to you, I embrace you. I embrace you. Private worship. You know, I thought if you just told somebody one time, I love you, why do you have to say it over and over again? Private worship. I never understood you. Because I thought it's just a bunch of monotonous words saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I didn't understand you. I'm sorry, confession. I embrace you. I embrace you. Any and all of these, any one of them will lead you down the right road. But when you bypass them, I hurt too bad. No, I'm just going to sit right here. Ring, ring. Hello. Do you guys know what I've been through? No? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I got a story for you. I got a story for you. Day's end. Which one did you embrace? I didn't embrace any of them. What you did was, you exalted yourself up above the things wherein He said, if you will humble yourself and come to Him and stay steadfast in the things that you know, then the mighty hand of God will exalt you above. He'll call you up here and say, hey, you embrace these. Now come on up here. I'm about to exalt you out of your trial. I'm taking you from a place. You can be schizophrenic. You can be manic depressant. You can be ready to end it all tonight. But if you know how to absolutely give yourself over and say, I abandon myself. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I will embrace every single one of you and it will come to pass. It will come to pass. You can wake up the next morning. God can pay off every deal. He can bring everything to pass. He can cause you to be exalted all in one night's time. And you say, I don't know that I believe that. I know you don't because you're not embracing any of these. But if you'll humble yourself. Whew. Did we take up the offering yet? We did. Good. All right. Good. Hallelujah. We look at all of us and say, God bless them. They sure don't need to be humbled because they're going through it. But isn't it amazing, myself included, that we, according to Him, can be at the height of epitome of pride when I say, God, I'm a little miffed at you. You need to come and do something for me in this. And God's saying, you're praying in tongues? No, God, but I'm still miffed. How much word you got in you? I've known the word. When are you coming? Have you spent any time in fellowship embracing me? Father, I'd embrace you if you'd come. I'm still a little mad at you. So you don't go to hell because you're mad at God. But a lot of people are mad at God. But guess what? When I don't feel any of these, and I say I don't feel any of you, and according to my flesh, I think you're all liars, but I believe God is true. And I will meditate that word until I believe it. I will pray in tongues until I get out of this. I will confess the word. I will fast, even if it's one meal of every 2 weeks. I will begin to do something. I will shuffle my feet out of where I'm at until I get to the place where I get to running, and I get to running faster and faster and faster. But as long as I'm stale and still and say I'm waiting on you, I'll die paralytic in the spirit. But when I embrace these, hallelujah to God. Give the glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's please stand. Did you get something today? Hallelujah. All things are possible. Father, I love you. Would you just lift your hands and receive? I give glory and praise and honor. Thank you for who you are.
Lord, I pray that these words spoken will go down deep, and that, Lord, the sands of time will not cover them up, but, Father, I pray that they will live in all of us.
I receive it in myself as well as I speak it. I pray your grace and truth be multiplied, and that, Father, when the enemy that will come to try to take this word, if he does come, but you said that he would come, I thank you, Lord, that in a moment's time we walk past him. Nothing, no thought, no ambition of the enemy, no emotion sent, no problem. Father, we stand upon your word, and your word takes root inside of us. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Candy and I love you. You're certainly welcome to sit and worship if you'd like, but otherwise you're free to go. God bless you.